Today we are tackling a challenge that has become central to every modern family and church community: digital addiction. From the silent glow of a teenager's smartphone to the pervasive lure of video games and social media, screens are fundamentally reshaping our brains, our relationships, and our ability to connect. Well, today's guest has some answers for us. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, everybody, to the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson, and Steve Lacy, who is normally kind of a co-host with us, is on vacation this week. So how dare he take vacation? But he's on vacation, although I've caught him working in between things. So not a very healthy thing to do. And we'll talk. I actually have a counselor on today, so maybe we'll talk a bit about that, you know, how when you're on vacation, maybe you shouldn't work. Right. Kind of a joke. So anyhow, folks, this is episode number 494. And we've done, as I think we've said a lot of times here, we've done a number of them over the years. Some of them we never counted, so who knows how many we've done. But we're glad to have you watching us today or listening to us wherever you get the Church Solutions Podcast at. And we have a great guest today. I do want to remind everybody, though, that if you have not checked out streamingchurch.tv/resources, we have a lot of resources. This is mainly what we do here. We do streaming video, and actually we do a lot of digital stuff, and we're going to talk about digital stuff today with our counselor. But if you haven't had a chance to check out streamingchurch.tv, you can go there and go to our resources. We have webinars we've done in the past. We have of course podcast you can see here at that actually see on the website, as well as other stuff. So check it out if you get a chance. So anyhow, let's get to it today. So today's guest is a licensed professional counselor and a certified life coach. She is specializing in treating digital addiction. And she's been a counselor for over 14 years. I didn't run this bio past her. Hopefully this is not too dated, but we'll talk about that. She is actually she's certified to treat digital addiction. And we'll talk about what that actually is. She's also board certified. She's a board certified Christian counselor and a problematic gaming specialist. A lot of stuff there. She has her own practice called LifeWalk Professional Counseling and offers sessions in the office, online, and actually through outdoor coaching. And she's based out of Hot Springs, Arkansas. I've been to Hot Springs before, and I used to do some off-roading in that area. There's an off-road park, but enough of me. So she works with teens. She works with younger adults as well as mature adults and families. She's got a real passion for helping families thrive and assisting people in navigating stress, depression, and anxiety and family conflict. So please welcome Mary Catherine Lisinski to the Church Solutions Podcast. Mary Catherine, how are you?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. So I think we talked about this before when we were doing a pre-interview a couple of weeks ago. You go by Mary Catherine.
Yes,
right?
Sure okay. Do. Yes.
All right. So excuse me if I goof up here because my wife's name is Mary Kathleen, although she goes by Mary Kay.
Okay.
So,
hopefully
I won't goof that, but I'm known to do that. All right. So thanks again for being on the Church Solutions Podcast. And did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You did. That was amazing. Gold star for you.
That's a good one for me because generally I butchered up. All right. So let's get to it today. We're going to talk a little bit about digital addiction. And so first of all, what is it? And it is, you know, I mean, how bad of a problem is this?
Well, it is a very bad problem. And I know we'll get into those details. But as far as describing what it is or describing symptoms, I would say that withdrawing from other people, especially younger ones who want to go in their bedroom and be by themselves, to be on their screens and not interact with family, things like that, withdrawal from other people, anger. We're going to be, you know, much more quickly to anger, especially if you are telling your teenager to get off their device and they have this big meltdown. That is a sign of too much attachment to that device. They should not have such an extreme attachment. Lower grades due to a lack of ability to focus. We can talk about how it affects people's academic performance. And same with, you know, being able to focus at work. If you're an adult in the workforce, lack of ability to focus is a big issue. Poor communication skills, especially in younger people, if they are not having the time to have face-to-face conversations, to learn conversation skills, to learn how to read body language, those types of skills, and they're just on a screen interacting with people, those communication skills will not be there. Lack of eye contact, again, not having the practice of face-to-face conversations, they don't realize the significance of that. For anyone, but especially those who are younger, if they're, you know, not as happy as they used to be, they are not experiencing life the way they used to. We'll talk about how dopamine affects our moods and how too much screen time can mess up dopamine a lot. Having fewer interests, if they're only interested in their video gaming, right? That shows, you know, too much attachment, and that is where they're getting their pleasure, their reward, things like that, and things that they used to be very interested in and love don't have that same degree of dopamine spike, dopamine rise that video games and social media have. How about feeling exhausted but can't sleep? That's a big one. So even, you know, screens really encroach on the number of hours that we sleep. But even when we do try to go to sleep, if you've been on the screen from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. and then you try to sleep, you are messed up and not able to sleep as you should. So that's, again, going to affect school the next day, work the next day, all of that. And just lack of motivation. We'll talk about that as it relates to dopamine, and seeming stressed or depressed without being able to identify a different clear cause. Again, we've seen a huge rise in anxiety and depression, especially among younger people, and it's very tied to screen overuse and screen addiction. So those are a lot of the symptoms that we are seeing.
That's a lot.
I
was going to ask you how it affects us mentally and physically and all that. You just pretty much said all that. So I read something recently. Savannah Guthrie is one of the co-hosts of Today's Show, and she's actually from Tucson here. And it was something about, I read an article about how she doesn't allow her kids to have, I don't think she allows them to have devices yet. Mobile devices yet to do that. And so let me just ask you this. I know you talked about a lot of things, dopamine and all that, but for parents, especially of those preteen ages and teenagers, I mean, what is your recommendation on maybe what's the ideal age to introduce somebody like that age to a smartphone or even a social media account?
Well, you're going to have a lot of different answers from different people when it comes to that. And I think also it has to do with whether the device connects to the internet or not. That's the big issue right there. So, you know, some people are saying, oh, wait until they're age, you know, 14 or 16. The entire country of Australia now has social media banned until you're 16 years old. They're saying, you know, you're just developmentally not ready for it, which is what I say. But a lot of parents today are saying, you know, mine aren't getting a social media account until they're 18, and then they can do what they want. And so I don't really focus on a specific age, because age is just a number, and you have, you know, different levels of maturity at different ages. Nor do I really focus on, oh, how many hours per day or per week is too much? You know, when does it become an addiction? Things like that. I don't really focus on that particular part of it either. But as far as when you're thinking about giving your child or teenager access with a device that has access to the internet, what I want you to think about is this. You can, you know, give your child or teenager access to the internet when you are ready for them to have access to the worst porn, the worst worldviews, the worst violence, the worst influences, all of that. You know, when you think your child is ready for that, go ahead. You know, and I know that's very stark and very alarming, but I think that's really where we're at. Because even if you have all of these, you know, devices have the, you know, the apps that block certain things, and you check your child's phone all the time, and you say, oh, my child isn't very tech savvy, you know, they can't figure out how to get around all these blocks and all that kind of stuff, I can guarantee you that their friends can. Okay. So unfortunately, I think that parents are kidding themselves when they say, oh, I just, you know, I go through my kid's phone to see what they're doing. You can't possibly see everything that they're doing and saying and viewing. And you just can't possibly do it. So that's my answer.
All right. Well, that's a good answer. So obviously there's dark stuff out there, bad stuff out there. But what do you think about some of these social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, et cetera? I mean, do you think they share some responsibility for the problems of screen time, especially with our young people?
I do, in that they now admit, you know, many of these social media and gaming companies say that they hired psychologists to teach them addictive properties so that they could build that into their platforms. So they knew they were making something that was addictive. So we call this a behavioral addiction instead of a substance addiction. It's a behavioral addiction. So they knew they were doing that. And then they knew what kind of content was going to be in there and what kind of connections were going to be allowed to be made. And so they needed to, I think, inform the public of, hey, here's this great product. And by the way, right? And put all of the information out there from the beginning so that people would know, because people at first, we didn't know. And we didn't, you know, we just adopted it and everything became normal before we realized all of the dangers. So one part of the danger is the addictiveness of it. And then the second part of the danger is the content. And so when you look at so many CEOs of these technology companies do not allow their children access to screens or social media. Steve Jobs' kids did not have an iPad. And so you think, okay, here are the creators and the heads of these products who don't allow their children to use the product. They step away from it themselves. They're the ones who know the most. And they say, no, we're stepping aside. Same with the schools that these CEOs send their kids to. Those schools do not allow screens in the schools, whether personal or even computers to use for academics, you know, for learning purposes. They're just not there. They want their children to grow up screen free, as they say.
So, and I saw something advertised, and I haven't watched it yet. I mentioned Today Show, and I'll mention it again. I think there's an interview that one of the people from Today is having with the person who's in charge of Instagram, they've created a teen, I guess, a teen version for Instagram. It just came out, so I don't expect you to maybe know about that, but. Do you think that whatever they're trying to do there, do you think that's an attempt to reconcile and to work things out?
I think it is an attempt. And I think some of the other platforms are also trying to make it so that they have, like, you know, a teen version or a younger version and, or, you know, not feeding certain content or whatever. But I do think it's an attempt that, in my opinion, it isn't enough. It isn't going to work. I had a parent tell me one time, you know, that allowing her teenage son to have access to Snapchat was her worst parenting mistake. And that, really? That says a lot.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you what you thought about that, but it's probably not enough. All right. So, let's, you know, we're talking about how bad this stuff is. What about adults? And I know you work with adults as well. I mean, you know, he talked about all the issues the teens are having. I remember this was years ago, probably before 2020. I was executive pastor at a church, and right before the service, there was a downtime before the service started. The band had done their run through, and the sound people had tweaked everything, and they're all sitting in the back of the church. And I snapped a picture of it because I thought it was really funny. But every single one of them, there's about nine of them sitting in the back, and they all were doing this. They were sitting next to each other, but they all were looking at their phones.
Right.
And they were, every one of them was an adult, I think, with the exception of my son at the time, who wasn't an adult. But so, I mean, is this just as big a problem with people that are adults?
It definitely can be. Things with addictive properties are going to hook someone of any age. The younger you are, the more susceptible you are to becoming addicted to anything. So, you know, that's why we have certain age limits on other addictive things. And so, but yes, adults definitely can fall into the addictiveness of it. The same with, you know, social media of, oh, I don't want to miss out, or, oh, who's commenting or liking on my post. And then, unfortunately, you know, video games are a big thing with adult men. And that is, you know, so many of these things, it's not just the content, it's stealing time away from what's important in life. And, you know, for many who are married with children, connection and discipleship and having good family relationships takes time. And so if we are spending hours a day on a screen, we're not interacting with family, we're not interacting with friends face to face. And that is so important when you think about we as Christians, you know, wanting to teach our children wonderful things and pass down good values. That's passed down through time, through stories that older generations tell to younger generations. And the family dinner table is becoming a sea of devices. And it's like, you know, the family dinner table was almost at one point, you know, the last holdout of, you know, family conversation. And now even it is gone. And so many things have swallowed up the time, and screens, I think, are a majority of what swallows up that time.
Yeah.
So excuse me. I'm having some iced coffee. I'm addicted to coffee, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not addicted to coffee, as far as you know, but that was a bad, poor attempt of a joke. So, all right. So what are some of the keys to reversing this damage that's done by screens?
Well, I have done extensive research beyond the certifications that I've gotten. I have done a lot of reading and researching beyond that. And so what I have found is that, you know, one of them is spending time outside, spending time in nature. Now, let me back up here to explain one of the negatives, and that is screen time, and especially video games and social media, puts your brain into the fight or flight mode. And your brain is producing stress chemicals, cortisol, all of those. And that is not good for us to be kind of sitting and stewing in that sort of a brain state. But when we are outside, that triggers our brain. It triggers our parasympathetic nervous system to be calm and to be alert to the proper degree, right? Instead of being hyper alert like the video games train our brains to be. And so being outside, and of course, you know, God created us in a garden, and we spent so much time in human history spending the majority of our time outside. It's only been in the last, I don't know, 200, 250 years that we have spent the majority of our time inside. And so even more so now with screens, I think that the average amount of time you spend outside is like just, you know, minutes per day. Whereas we need so much more. And so getting outside is huge. Having those, you know, face-to-face conversations, that's another key. People don't realize how much younger generations learn by face-to-face conversations. They learn the conversation skills, the body language interpretation skills. They learn how to regulate their own emotions by parents and others interacting with them. And that's how they learn emotion regulation skills. You know, we're born basically with no emotion regulation. We just cry whenever we feel a need, right?
And I still do, by the way. Yeah.
We have a tantrum. And so again, those are taught by parents and caregivers who spend that time face to face. And we don't really lose that need once we're past the toddler stage, right? We need face-to-face conversation so much more than screen time. We need that healthy attachment that comes by, you know, time spent with people. Another one of the keys is getting enough sleep. And so we have to turn off those devices at night. One simple rule is no devices, no screens in the bedroom. You know, bedrooms are for sleeping. You know, perhaps, you know, some younger ones need to do homework in their bedroom, but really, beds are for sleeping. They're not for scrolling. And so getting enough sleep. So I'll explain a little bit about sleep. When you are in front of a screen, that is emitting blue light into your eyes. And that is telling your body that it's daytime. Normally with the sun, you have more blue light during the middle of the day. So if you are 8, 9, 10 p.m., you know, midnight, getting all of this blue light into your brain, your body is thinking that it's daytime. And so it is producing daytime hormones, energy hormones. And then you try to shut it off and go to sleep. The body's like, no, it's daytime, right? And we have blocked that blue light, blocks the production of melatonin, which helps us to fall asleep and helps us to stay asleep. And so we need that to, again, be totally changed and not have screen time at night. If you're someone who has to work at night and has to be on a screen, I highly recommend the blue light blocking glasses. You can get those for $20 or $30 online. And they really, really make a difference in your body's ability to get tired and sleepy at night. So if you do have to be on a screen at night, blue light blocking glasses are awesome.
I want to just jump in. Your practice is called Life Walk Professional Counseling. So I'm assuming from what you just told me about outdoor stuff that maybe part of your counseling is helping people, working with people, walking outside. Is that true or am I off base on that?
Yes, I can do that. And I was going to add a little bit to my bio that you read as well. Yes, I have a counseling practice. I'm a licensed professional counselor and I have done sessions outside for sure. I'm also with this digital addiction treatment. I am going down the avenue of being a parent coach. And so as a parent coach, I'm not just limited to the state of Arkansas where I live. My counseling license is limited to the state of Arkansas, but as a parent coach, I can coach parents nationwide. And in which case that would be over a screen, ironically, but with the, with the goal of helping you and your family spend a lot less time on screens. Right. And so, yes, I have definitely conducted therapy sessions outside and my clients have loved it. You know, just, I think we all need to love the outdoors.
Yeah, we do. You were talking about being outside and how it can really relax us and help us. I remember, I used to do a lot of off-roading. I still do. The Jeep pretty much parks in my driveway now, but I remember my son who, you know, was definitely had lots of screen time. I mean, we tried to regulate it. We tried to watch it. But I remember I got him involved off-roading with us. And I remember at one point we were out in the middle of nowhere doing some off-roading. And he just stopped for a moment. He was actually driving, I think. And so he was 16 at the time. And he just stopped and he goes, "This is so wonderful." You know, it was kind of a zen moment for him. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking at the time, I thought, that's wonderful that he appreciates that. But there really is something about if you can get outside anywhere, it does make a difference, doesn't it?
It does. And that brings another point to my mind. And I don't know how old your son is now, but for those who are young now, who have grown up with screens, they don't know what life is like without screens. They don't know what they're missing as far as playing outside, being active outside, interacting with friends, you know, face to face so much more. And I feel like we as adults need to give them that chance because so many of them, you know, they are attached to their screens and it can be a struggle at first, which is, you know, where I come in as a coach. But so many of them afterwards say, I like this so much more, you know, being with family, being outside, doing different activities other than screen time. They then realize what they were missing that they didn't know before. And I think, again, as parents, we need to give them that chance.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that. So what kind of a message can you give? There's people, we have people in ministry listening to this, you know, podcast, volunteers, pastors, executive pastors, and people aren't in ministry, obviously, listen to it at times. But I'm sure there's a lot of guilt, you know, as I was listening to you talk about the downside to all this screen time, I felt the gift of guilt, you know, it keeps on giving. But I felt kind of bad about that because I thought, you know, we didn't probably do a very good job in keeping our son off the screen. What kind of hope is there for those of us that might be feeling, and my son's almost 27, by the way, so he's married and all that. But what kind of hope can you give somebody like me that kind of feels, kind of lost all those years? Is there some kind of word of encouragement to help take away this feeling of shame?
Well, sure. Of course there is. Just like anything that we look back on that we say, you know, I should have done that different, or I should have done more of this or less of that. There's always God's grace for that, to say, you know what? At the time, I didn't know better. I didn't know that information. I didn't know that support was there. I didn't know, you know, and so you look at yourself with eyes of compassion and saying, if I had known different, I would have done different. But at that time, you have to remember what you didn't know. And so instead of, you know, judging yourself on your current knowledge, you judge yourself on the knowledge you had at the time. And you're like, I was trying to be a good parent. And I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were very much, you know, trying to be in alignment with how God wanted you to be as a father. And so you're like, I was doing my best at the time, and now I have God's grace. And at the future, you know, your son is 27. And so the two of you have a very long time to have a great relationship and to say, hey, you know, let me tell stories that my grandfather told me, and spend that quality time. And one day you may have grandchildren, or you might have grandchildren now, and say, okay, when I do have grandchildren, this is how I'm going to be and how I'm going to encourage them to have what I would call, you know, life in 3D instead of life on a 2D screen. And so there's that as well. So there's always grace and there's always hope, which we all need.
Yeah, we're real fortunate. Our son, we see him and his wife quite often, and we have a good relationship. So I'm really blessed about that. Very grateful for that. All right. So, you know, you ought to write a book about this stuff. Have you?
I am in that process. Thanks,
Phil. That's what I thought. Yeah. Tell me more about it and give us some information on, you know, well, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the book, and go ahead and how people can maybe get a hold of you.
Yeah. So I hope to be published in January, but that's just a hope. I'm going down the self-publishing route. And so it's hard to know how long these processes will take. So maybe in January, and I'll let you know when it's published. So what I found, you know, when I got certified was that it wasn't enough. Yes, these certifications talked all about the problems in detail. Okay. And we need to know that. But then they really lacked in, okay, what do we do? How do we treat this? And so I begin to think, okay, now here we've outlined all of these problems, how it damages the brain, damages relationships. How do we reverse those problems? So I went down my own journey of how do we heal the brain? And so that's where I came out with the 7 keys. I got to some of them earlier, but I'll listen for you now. And that would be, you know, spending time in nature, having more face-to-face conversations, having, you know, good attachments between parents and their children, getting good sleep, but also getting enough physical exercise. We all need to move at every age. And also mindfulness, you know, being aware of what's going on around us in the present moment, and definitely being aware of God's presence as well, and our faith as well. I think that organizations such as Alcoholics Anonymous and Celebrate Recovery, for sure, really emphasize the faith aspect when you are trying to fight an addiction. And so those are the 7 keys that I have found that I think also go along with God's design for us and what he wants for us. He wants us to be healthy in order to be able to accomplish his purposes here. We are his ambassadors, and we are to take care of our bodies and take care of our time in ways that, again, keep us healthy for him and his work. And so the first half of the book is going to be all about the depressing problems. And then the second half of the book is going to list the keys and what I have found. And so unfortunately, you know, I see so many families who say, oh, yes, we started to try to limit screen time in our home, and it was just a big battle and a big fight, so I gave up. And I'm like, no, 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 don't give up. Don't give up. It is difficult, but it's worth fighting for when you think about the damages that are damaging an entire generation. You know, we're seeing it. And so your children are worth this. And so that's where I come in as a coach, to say, let me do this alongside with you. And if I can sort of be the bad guy who says, hey, here's how we're going to do this, and then the parent is just kind of following what I recommend as much as they can, that makes me the bad guy instead of being the parent being the bad guy. So I think that might help to preserve the parent-child, parent-teen relationship, having somebody else being the director. And for me, you know, being able to support the parents, helping them to not feel alone. We need to have support when we are fighting addictions. We don't want to feel alone. And so that's another aspect of having support as well. And so that's what I have been able to do.
Mary Catherine Lazinski has been our guest today on the Church Solutions podcast. Before we go, and this is, I realize you can't do this with maybe young kids, or maybe you can, but you know, at the beginning you talked about just all the negative things that happen with you know, addiction to screen time. Is there a possibility you can kind of reason a little bit with a teen saying, look, you know, if you're going to do this, here's the downsides to all this. I mean, there's reasoning, and again, it probably depends on the teenager, right? But I mean, you know, there is a lot of downside, as you just carefully shared with us. So instead of saying, no, don't do this anymore, you know, sharing, hey, here's what can happen to you. You know, you could go blind or something. You know, I'm being funny, so, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yes, teenagers have some ability to reason, even though the human brain is not fully developed until age 26. They can reason. And so, yes, they need to know some of the downsides. But I think also with teenagers, and especially those who are younger, you want to go down the path of, here's how we create a healthy brain. And if you want to be able to do the things you want to do in life, to be smart and to be able to just be sharp, have a sharp functioning brain, here's what we need to do. And screen time is going to negatively impact your brain's ability to grow into the sharpest that it can become. And I think the younger the person is, the more likely they are to attach to that. And so you want to give as much positive as you can, instead of just being like, oh, I'm going to take away all your fun by taking away all your screens, right? That nobody likes that. So putting it in that positive light of, here's what we want to work towards, and here's how we want to protect your brain so it can be the best it can be. That sounds a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. That's much more positive. All right. So Mary Catherine, how can people get a hold of you? Give us maybe your website. That's probably the best way, right? Because people could contact you if they go to your website.
Yes, sure. So my website is lifewalkcoaching.com. So you can go there and learn more about me. You can also contact me through there. But I also give out my phone number. And I know that's unusual, but I have a business phone. And so if you just want to do the old-fashioned way and call me up, I will answer that. So my phone number is 501-290-7132. So you can call that number, or you can go to lifewalkcoaching.com and get in touch with me, and I'll see how I can help.
Excellent. Well, this is excellent. This has been really good. And it is a little ironic. Here we are, streamingchurch.tv. That's our company. And
right. No, you do wonderful things. You know, technology can be a tool for good. And definitely adults can figure out how to use it as a tool for good, which is what you and your company are doing, which is great.
Yeah, no, we try. We try our best. All right. Well, this has been good. We'll need to have you on again. And, you know, if you're listening to this driving down the road or something, you can always reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv, and we'll connect you with Mary Catherine. And if we can help, as you are, if we can help you and your church anyway, we certainly want to be able to do that. We sure appreciate everybody watching and listening. And Mary Catherine, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions podcast.
You are so welcome, Phil. This has been a great conversation. I've enjoyed sharing with you and your audience.
Well, we appreciate you so much for what you're doing, and we'll definitely have to have you on again. And again, folks, if you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, you can do so anywhere you get your podcast, your favorite podcast. And you can always go to streamingchurch.tv and find us under resources, as well as the other stuff there. So again, thank you for watching and listening. Please take care of yourself and each other. And for Steve Lacy, who's not here today, I'm Phil Thompson. We'll talk to you again. Take care.